Maestro Lars Vogt, from your first professional musical experiences till now, what main things do you feel have changed in you and what had remained the same?
That's a big question to start with. Oh my God, that is really hard to answer. I think there is one genuine musical impulse, very close to intuition, to the areas in our soul that we can't quite define. I think that impulse has stayed the same ever since I started when I was 6.
Yes.
Then, of course, a lot has changed in terms of knowledge, understanding the different aspects of composers, of styles. There, a lot has changed in terms of what you take in on the way. If you're clever enough, I've been so lucky to work with such incredible musicians, conductors, instrumentalists, singers, and from every one of them you can just learn so much. Also learn what you don't want to do. You know, sometimes you see something and you think, no, I feel that differently. You know, even that is also a way of learning and finding your position. But being an artist, you never come to a position that's solid, that stays. It's always a fluent thing. Tomorrow might be. Even if you tonight do a performance which is convincing and which seems this is how this piece should be, then tomorrow might be completely different. And one needs to know that always, even in the moment of being really convinced.
You will play a well-known concerto, Edvard Grieg's Concerto in A minor. What connections can you establish between your spiritual world and Grieg's music? How do you feel in Edvard Grieg's universe?
I feel close to Nordic colors. That's also why I felt always close to the harmony world of Brahms, for example, the Nordic aspect in
it. Yes.
And so Grieg was also always in a certain roughness, but also darkness of colors was always very close to me. I can't really quite explain why. I think from childhood I've also had quite a melancholy side. And that is definitely something that speaks to me very immediately in this music.
You've played so many times, I think, Grieg's Piano Concerto. Do you still discover new things in the piece, Maestro?
Well, new ways of looking at it. I think I do know the piece quite well, although being on stage, it's always this thing you never quite know what's going to happen. And that's also the wonderful thing about playing concerts. Never be too sure about things.
Yes.
That there are always new things to discover or different ways to look at it. For example, in the last movement, which is very dancey, but is it really quite vertical and rhythmical, or does it actually also have a melodic and horizontal line behind it? That's, for example, a very interesting thing. Just how vertical am I going to play it? How much are there going to be real downbeats? Or is it also something that can be bouncy and can move on? That's an interesting question, for example.
When you play this concerto, Maestro, how much is Grieg and how much is Lars Vogt?
Well, I hope it's really Grieg. Of course, it's the way that I see Grieg, so that makes it personal. But I'm trying to give Grieg my voice, the way that I feel that he would have wanted it. And when I play Mozart, it's hopefully a sound of and the voice of Mozart. And when I play Beethoven or Lutoslawski, it's hopefully there. Worlds and their ideas. But it needs personality. That's the incredible thing in music, that we can't just put a picture on the wall like with a Van Gogh painting or so. But it needs the personality of the performer. And I don't quite agree with Adorno, who said that you just need to look at the score. That's the way to really appreciate a piece of music. I do think it's a sensual thing. It's something that needs to be felt, that needs to be go through your stomach and your heart and your brain.
When did you felt that you discovered the meanings, the truth of music behind the notes, which are just science?
I never know that. I never know that. I'm looking for it. And the older you get, the more you understand that the purpose is the search. It's dangerous, actually, to think this is how it is. I sometimes have a strong feeling I'm quite sure it isn't like that.
Yes.
When I'm teaching, for example, or even when I'm working with an orchestra or playing myself and try out a certain way of playing, I can tell quite clearly, I don't think it's meant like that. Yes. I don't believe that. That's usually my phrase, I don't believe that. But to believe that this is how it is, you need to come to a convinced point, but you always need to know it might be wrong.
You've been quoted as saying that Mozart is your number one composer. Is there any secret in playing Mozart's music? You know, there are some people who are talking about some secret meanings of his music.
Mozart is sort of the, on the one hand, the simplest and the most difficult thing of all. I mean, it's already a cliche to say that. But as a matter of fact, when a Mozart concerto is coming up in my schedule, I am much more worried than when a Grieg or a Schumann concerto, although I love them too, and they are also difficult to play, but a Mozart concerto is just the ultimate challenge. And you can see within three bars if somebody can really phrase naturally, feel the music naturally. Basically, after about three bars, it's all clear. And even to non-musicians, it's clear that something's not right if Mozart isn't played right. Yes.
You have also a special affinity with German classical and romantic composers.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I'm really not a nationalist at all. I'm so interested in all cultures around the world and in music from everywhere. Ionesco is a great composer, yes, for example. I have to my shame, admit that I haven't played his works yet, but I've programmed some of his pieces at my festival and in Heimbach,
Chamber
Festival. We've done his wonderful string octet, which is just a marvelous piece. And that really made me understand what a genius he is. So there's so much to discover everywhere. I guess somehow culturally I do still feel quite linked to German classical and romantic repertoire. It is somehow still closest to me, but I do love other music as well.
And it's natural, yes.
Possibly.
Yes. My next question is a long one. Uh-huh. A great pianist once said, in music, you need to believe in God, not necessarily in life, which is different and personal. But music is a perfect world where the dissonances are resolved and where there is a purpose, a direction all the way through. Pariah said that. What is your relation with the universe, Maestro Lars Vogt?
I am... God, I'm saying, I have my moments of feeling quite religious and I have my moments of not believing anything at all. If I believe in anything, it is really in the power of music, in what it can do to people's souls. I know what it does to my own soul, to my own heart, and I believe what it can do to others, pretty much to everybody, if they let it in. That I really believe in, and so in that God I'm very happy to believe at any given moment. I'm not so sure if what Beraya says is true in the sense that all dissonances are resolved. Because I think there are a lot of great works where dissonances stay, where it's important also that the dissonance is also there. Dissonance is part of our life. And often dissonance can't and sometimes also shouldn't be resolved. I think there can be, even in life, a dialectic thinking in the way that opposite things can both be true. And this kind of dissonance is, I think, also quite important in arts. And in Beethoven, God, I mean, the Appassionata ends in the biggest possible human dissonance. Something's really not right and you've suffered through such tragedy and that's it. And you're left alone with it. So it isn't resolved. He doesn't give hope at the end. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they resolve the dissonances, but not always.
What would be the greatest virtue in a pianist, in a musician, Maestro Lars Vogt?
I think to be truthful and not necessarily always beautiful in that sense. To be truthful to what we do. Truthful to the work. Truthful to our soul. Truthful to what is. That is the key thing. One has to be intuitive. One has to be intuitive and critical at the same time. There are so many things that are important, but really, really loving what you do, I think, is the key thing. And that's something also, you can't achieve that. It's there or it isn't.
Why does Borussia Mönchengladbach always had to play Bayern Munich without Lars Vogt?
Yeah, I know. I know, that's probably why they lost so often.
Yes.
Yeah, but they won the last match.
I know.
But they started very badly into the new season. It's quite tragic, really. But they are for the first time in Champions League. So maybe, I hope they get their act together. Because at the moment, it's not looking very good.
Yes.
But being a fan of Mönchengladbach is, you know, it's kind of your fate. You know, I went twice with them to the second league and suffered through all sorts of things. And a friend of mine, a radio redacteur in Germany, he's also a Mönchengladbach fan. And always when we meet, he said, so how are they doing? And he said, well, being a fan of Mönchengladbach, it's a bit like when you're a child, you get a bucket of sand on your head.
Yes.
And then slowly the sand keeps going down. I guess being a fan of Bayern Munich is a lot easier in that sense.
Yes.
Do you leave enough time for your personal life, Maestro?
Probably not.
How difficult is it to be the organizer of the Heimbach Music Festival?
It does take a lot, but I have such wonderful people on my side who are doing this in their free time with so much love to this amazing project. And the artists all come with so much love for what we do there. So in the end, it's a big festival of chamber music and of people who love it and who love being together in that spirit.
What is it, as you go forward through life, that you want to achieve as a musician, but also as a human being?
Enjoying life, enjoying music, loving the moments as much as possible. It's not always easy. You know, once you come to a certain age, life just isn't straightforward. And especially this kind of life as an artist is really not straightforward. It'll always be a struggle between, as you said, between personal life and professional life. Where do I strike a balance? How do I strike it? How musical life is so predominantly important for me, but there should also be space for my private life and for the people that I love.
And it could be a solitary life.
It can be very solitary, absolutely. And sometimes has to be even. So it's not easy, but it's still the most wonderful thing in the world. I hope I will understand more with time and hopefully enjoy things for many years to come.